In the 1970s, the Grameen Bank in Bangladesh was founded to make very small loans to poor women to start or improve a business. And the concept of microfinance was born. The idea is catching on in the U.S., where many would-be entrepreneurs with no shortage of ideas lack access to traditional credit from banks. Today, we'll talk to a local nonprofit that is taking the concept a step further by giving Central Ohio investors the chance to invest in loans to small businesses in Central Ohio. And we'll hear about an online financial service that brings together entrepreneurs and investors in their communities. After the news, on All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
Prices at the wholesale level are up slightly, increasing 0.2% in May. NPR's Yuki Noguchi says that is the smallest rise, though, in 10 months.
The price of wholesale food products fell, but at the same time, the price of energy goods rose by a larger margin. Excluding those items, the core price index was also 0.2% higher. The numbers were more or less in line with analysts' expectations and slower than the increase in prices in April. The market watches wholesale prices as a leading indicator for inflationary pressures, and rising inflation is a concern for investors because it could damage consumer spending even more. Year over year, wholesale inflation rose 7.3%, the largest jump in nearly 3 years. Yuki Noguchi, NPR News, Washington.
President Obama is warning lawmakers to take seriously the August deadline for raising the government's borrowing limit to avoid any default on Treasury securities and the turmoil that would ensue in the financial markets.
The full faith and credit of the United States is the underpinning not only of our way of life, it's also the underpinning of the global financial system. And we could actually have a reprise of a financial crisis if we play this too close to the line. So we're going to be working hard over the next month, and my expectation is we're going to get it done in a sensible way. That's what the American people expect.
The president on NBC's Today Show. The president and his economic policies were the focus of the debate among the major Republican presidential hopefuls in New Hampshire last evening. NPR's Ari Shapiro says the GOP contenders did not spend much time spelling out their differences with each other.
Although Mr. Obama was nowhere near New Hampshire, his name came up more than anyone else's during the two-hour debate. Former Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty called the president a declinist.
He views America as one of equals around the world. We're not the same as Portugal. We're not the same as Argentina. And this idea that we can't have 5% growth in America is hogwash. It's a defeatist attitude.
When Congressman Ron Paul of Texas was asked to name one thing the president has done right on the economy, Paul replied, "I can't think of anything." Ari Shapiro, NPR News, Manchester.
Volunteers in Hamburg, Iowa are scrambling to add height to a secondary levee to protect the town from floodwaters of the Missouri River. Resident R.D. Hendrickson says the water has torn a huge hole in the primary levee.
The energy from the river cutting the side of the levee off, and the great big chunks, 4- and 6-foot chunks of the levee cab off from just the sheer pressure of the river.
The Army Corps of Engineers says the floodwaters could reach Hamburg today. If they breach that secondary levee, the town could be under 10 feet of water for weeks. This is NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live healthy, productive lives at GatesFoundation.org.
Good morning. It's 10:04. I'm Debbie Holmes, WOSU News. Ohio homeowners who suffered losses from recent tornadoes and floods can apply for state aid. Officials announced a $25 million emergency loan program to help Ohioans rebuild. State Treasurer Josh Mandel says in a statement that the program will offer money at reduced interest rates to help Ohioans get their lives and businesses back on track. Mandel's office says some small business owners, farmers, and homeowners may apply for loans of up to $400,000. Some state and local leaders want to close what they call a loophole that lets many people get guns without background checks. WOSU's Mandy Trimble reports the proposal comes as backers say terrorists are now being told to purchase firearms at gun shows.
State Representative Tracy Maxwell Hurd and Columbus Mayor Michael Coleman say gun shows, like the one at Westland Mall this coming weekend, puts guns in the hands of criminals. Coleman and Hurd allege gun shows are magnets for street gang members, but now they say it's gotten worse.
And now terrorists who are being encouraged to purchase their weapons here and in other gun shows around the country.
The proposed legislation calls for background checks on every gun purchase, including private sellers who are not required to conduct background checks.
That's Mandy Trimble reporting. In the weather forecast, partly sunny skies.
Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. How should we lead low-income entrepreneurial Ohioans out of poverty? The Economic and Community Development Institute, it's a local nonprofit organization in Columbus, was established in 2004 to make loans to very small business owners using funds from federal, state, and local governments. In order to keep up with the demand for loans, the ECDI has recently created the Invest Local Ohio program, which provides community members the opportunity to invest in small businesses and local entrepreneurs in Central Ohio. Ina Kinney is the founder and CEO of the Economic and Community Development Institute. In 1974, Ina and her family became the first Jewish family to be resettled in Columbus, Ohio, from the former Soviet Union. They were brand new to the country and spoke little English, but Ina's family was able to achieve the American dream by starting a family business. Welcome to the show, Ina.
Thank you.
Why did you start this organization? Sounds like you have a family business going, plenty to do.
Well, my family came to the United States from the former Soviet Union. In the former Soviet Union, people could not own businesses. So when we came to the United States, my father always had the dream, as many immigrants that come to the United States do, to have his own business. Through the years, he's had many businesses that have failed, many businesses that have succeeded. So part of my lifelong goal and mission was to help entrepreneurs start businesses. In 2004, that dream became a reality when Economic and Community Development Institute was started. It's a nonprofit organization, and our goal is to help individuals start and grow their businesses.
Why was it important to help? I mean, there's a distinction here, though, because there's lots of investors out there investing in good ideas and investing in startup businesses. There's never a shortage necessarily of that. So what's the distinction? Why did you decide to go with that micro business template?
Well, most businesses do not need a lot of capital to get started, especially businesses in a microenterprise field, which is investment of $35,000 or less, or five or less employees. That's how micro businesses are defined. And if you look at our economy, majority of businesses that are started in the United States are small. Our goal was to help individuals start businesses, but by giving them tools and opportunities. Tools come in many ways. Training is key to success of any business owner. In order to start a business, a person has to have an idea, but that idea cannot be realized unless you have a good plan. Part of what ECDI does is we meet with our clients in the training sessions. We help them put together a business model. We help them look at different options for marketing, for sales, for how to make your business legal. A lot of things go into the process. Once the client has a good business plan in place, that's when the hard work really begins. Staff provide them with a lot of one-on-one technical assistance. And then the most critical piece of what we do is capitalization. Small businesses, especially in this day and age, have a hard time getting financing. Traditional financing has come from banks. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, in this economy, banks are not looking to make small loans. It does not make sense for them financially to underwrite a loan of under $200,000.
So, which gets to the question of how can it make sense? It costs money to do this. They say just as much money to make a $500 loan as it does to make a $500,000 loan, technically.
Technically, you are correct. And that's where ECDI comes in place. We're a nonprofit lender. What that means is we are supported by many different funding sources. Majority of our funding currently comes from governmental sources. I'll give you an example of some of our funding sources. We are an SBA microloan intermediary.
Small Business Administration.
That's correct. United States Small Business Administration microlender. We borrow money from SBA. And the goal of SBA is to promote business growth within specific, in the United States. states. Mm-hmm. ECDI currently has 18 counties from Franklin all the way down to Hamilton County. And what we do is we borrow money from SBA and then we put it back out on the street. We manage 15 distinct and different loan funds.
Why? How are they categorized? Like, can you give me an example?
Well, SBA is one of our loan funds that we own and manage. And then we also have a loan fund with the City of Columbus and Franklin County Departments of Development. In essence, they put money into our loan fund, and then we put money back out to the end user.
My guest is Ina Kinney. She is the founder of Economic and Community Development Institute. If you have a question or comment for Ina, if you've wanted to start a very small business and just need a little bit of capital, we don't want you to make a pitch online on the air here, but we would if you have some questions for Ina about how to get started and the mechanics of what she's talking about, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. And if you've been a beneficiary of the Economic and Community Development Institute and want to tell us your story, give us a call. You can also go online and go on Facebook with the All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page. I've read that for some time, well, women especially historically have benefited from microfinancing in developing countries. And there's a microfinancing group in Cincinnati, I guess,
yes,
that focuses on women. Why is this necessary in either case? Why gender specific?
Well, traditionally, women have had a harder time getting financing and starting businesses.
Why is that?
I just think we live in, I have my own reasons for it, but I think traditionally women have not had as many opportunities in business environment. You see more women working in a corporate world than you do in small business world. And I think, especially with ECDI, because we do focus on a lot of our clients are women from different populations, from inner cities, from foreign-born populations. And these women have not had the same opportunities as others. So, our goal is to help women start businesses. Our goal is to help anybody start businesses.
Can anybody
absolutely
borrow? There's not an income requirement or anything like that?
Well, again, because we are funded, a lot of our funding does come from governmental sources. We do have certain income requirements. As I mentioned earlier, some of our funders, such as City of Columbus and Franklin County, do require the recipients to either live in a city or have businesses in a city, or the same for the county. Mm-hmm. And there are some income guidelines. But since we manage 15 different loan funds, we do have monies available that are unrestricted. And one of the new initiatives that we've started in the last couple of months is our Invest Local Ohio Fund. And I know you want to talk more about that.
Sure, yeah.
And Invest Local Ohio Fund is a new fund that we developed specifically to address the needs of individuals who do not fit into some of our other loan funds. It's mostly an unrestricted fund.
Can you give me an example of who might benefit, someone who doesn't fit into the other loan funds?
Well, again, anybody. Most people do fit into one of the 15 loan mm-hmm. funds. The Invest Local Ohio Fund is a way for us to raise local monies from individuals and from businesses that want to invest in our local economy, that want to invest in local businesses. Drive down the street and you'll see 600 of the businesses that we've started. They're everywhere in Franklin County. And we want people to frequent the businesses that ECDI has helped finance, and we want people to invest in those businesses. So in April, we went to file the securities with the state of Ohio to raise $1 million from individuals and from corporations to help capitalize businesses. Now, this is an investment as opposed to a donation.
Right.
Most nonprofits go out there and they, ask for donations. We wanted to come up with a different strategy as an investment vehicle for folks just like you, Ann, to go to invest in businesses that are everywhere. Grandview Theater is one of our businesses. We have a lot of restaurant businesses, healthcare businesses.
So someone says, I have $500. Is that too little? I mean, are you looking for
bigger? The minimum investment for the Invest Local Ohio Fund is $1,000. Mm-hmm. That's a minimum. Of course, you know, our goal is to raise $1 million. Anybody can invest from $1,000 on up, and they will get a return on their investment. It's a 2% return on a 3-year note and a 3% return on a 5-year note.
What's the response been so far?
The response has been phenomenal. In fact, we're joined by one of our investors here, Timothy Wolfstar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to bring him on in the next. Yeah,
we've had a phenomenal response. It's been, you know, 2 months so far, and we raised close to $150,000 to date. We're expecting another big investment this week. Huntington Bank is one of our investors in our loan fund. They've invested quite a bit of money. And when I spoke about the 15 loan funds, I mean, it's state funds, county funds, local funds, and governmental funds.
Someone might ask, so why doesn't Huntington Bank just loan people money the way you're loaning them money? What's in it for them to invest in this way versus doing it directly through their own commercial banking operations?
Well, Huntington Bank does loan money directly to individuals.
Right.
Unfortunately, like you said earlier, a lot of these loans financially do not make sense directly for the bank.
Okay.
And the bank would rather invest money in organizations such as ECDI, that we have a proven track record. We create jobs. We help start businesses. And Huntington Bank's been very you know, they benefit from it as well as we do, because they're able to work with clients once we put them into a loan. When the business grows,
Okay. These
clients can come back to the bank and get bigger loans.
Okay.
So that's a benefit to
the
bank.
There's a long-term benefit to them. Kelly in Columbus, you're on the air with Ina Kinney of the Economic Community Development Institute. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I had a real quick question regarding someone that might be interested in starting a nonprofit group. For instance, I'm looking into doing just community gardening for schools, senior centers, that type of thing.
So you're asking, is there a place for loans to nonprofits?
Right.
Ina?
Well, unfortunately, Kelly, it's Kelly, right?
Yep. Yes.
We do not make loans to nonprofit organizations, but there are other entities that do so. I think, you know, if you're looking to just start a nonprofit organization, you have to do a filing with IRS. You have to do your bylaws. So there's a lot of things that come around that you have to do in order to just get started. And I'd be more than happy to talk to you offline if you need some assistance and help.
If people want to learn more about the organization, they can go to your website, right?
They can. Our website is www.ecdi.org.
Okay, ecdi.org. We'll post that on our website at wosu.org.
Okay. I'll contact you that way then.
And I could also give you our phone number. You can call ECDI at 614-559-0115.
Okay.
And Kelly, you can ask directly for me. I'll be more than happy to help you out.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that.
No problem.
Thanks for the call.
Bye.
Kelly. We'll post the phone number. We'll post the website on our website at wosu.org/allsides. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
Checking the weather forecast for Central Ohio. Today, partly sunny and a high of 76. Tonight, partly cloudy and an overnight low of 55. On Wednesday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms by late afternoon. Partly sunny otherwise and a high of 78 degrees tomorrow.
89.7 FM is your source for NPR news and local news. Stay up to date with issues impacting life in Central Ohio. The award-winning WOSU News team keeps you connected to the community, and the State House News Bureau has the latest in-depth coverage of state government. Listen to news from across the country and from our own backyard on 89.7 NPR News and streaming online at wosu.org.
Connect Ohio wants to get every citizen online with free computer classes in our community. Find a job, get a degree, save time and money, and keep up with family and friends. Call 1-855-NOW-I-CAN to see what you can do with broadband. That's 1-855-NOW-I-CAN.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. We've been talking about how to grow local businesses and give a leg up to low-income entrepreneurs with Ina Kinney. She's founder and CEO of the Economic and Community Development Institute. It's a Central Ohio nonprofit organization. Again, we'll post it on our website at WOSU.org. Joining us now is Timothy Wolf Starr. He is founder and CEO of Small Business Beanstalk. He is an investor in the Economic and Community Development Institute, and we welcome him to the show now. Welcome to the show, Wolf.
Thank you very much, Ann.
So, Small Business Beanstalk, let's talk about that first. It's a local first company that leverages connections of all types to support business and community growth, and I got that right out of your off your website. So what does that mean?
We're a shop local program where we help thousands and thousands of people support the community through small business. We have everything from grocery stores to restaurants, and they all give some kind of deal or discount to community-minded people who go in there with their little key fob and shop local.
Now, this is like a Groupon or not?
No, it's think of it like a localized CVS or Giant Eagle card.
Okay.
Where you're able to go to hundreds of our local businesses, show them the card, and you receive some kind of benefit for supporting them.
So how do you make a living doing that? How is that a business?
The businesses pay a very small membership fee in order to join up and become part of the network. And then we also leverage those businesses to support the business-to-business community. And it sort of brings everything full circle and helps grow entrepreneurship.
Because your big thing is local.
Exactly.
It's not make $1 million.
Right.
Tell us about that and how that fits into Economic and Community Development Institute and why you invested in that.
Well, one thing which we always started to find was the businesses do really well with the right level of support, but often it's the capital which is the barrier between them and being able to get started or get to that next level of success. So we were looking at different ways to support the businesses within our network, and we came across ECDI. And they've been extremely helpful in training and food safety and in every part of what our businesses need. So when they came to me and they mentioned that they had their Invest Local Ohio program, it just seemed like a perfect fit. It's a way that all of my friends and my buddies can get involved and help support those businesses in an even greater way.
And it's pretty affordable at $1,000 minimum. That's I said $500, but you know, $1,000 is very accessible.
Even entrepreneurs can afford to invest in it.
Can you give me some examples of some of the companies locally, Wolf, that are involved in Small Business Beanstalk?
Yeah, absolutely. The Hills Market is a very active member of ours.
Up in Worthington.
We have most everything on High Street in the Short North, everything from Rigsby's to What the Rock. And then out in the suburbs, we work with great neighborhoods like Worthington and Grandview and businesses within those areas like the Candle Lab and House Wine. Just to sort of work together for economies of scale and for growth potential. And a lot of our businesses have actually received quite a bit of help from ECDI and from everything they've done. So it's a natural fit with businesses like the Betty's Family of Restaurant and opening the Jury Room. Great local brands being helped to grow.
You know, give me some examples of the businesses that you've helped start that might be familiar to most listeners.
Well, we don't only help start businesses. We also help expand and recapitalize businesses. Grandview Theater is one of the businesses. I mean, this is a landmark that's been in Columbus for so many years. We assisted them in the last year to buy some equipment for their theater. Wolf mentioned Betty's restaurants. Believe it or not, I mean, you know, she's got a number of restaurants.
Elizabeth Lesner,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Elizabeth Lesner. And, you know, we've helped her most recently with the Jury Room. About 30% of our businesses are in the food industry. Traditionally, restaurants, caterers, anybody that works within that food marketplace, they cannot get loans from banks. Banks just do not fund those type of businesses. We have a lot of transportation businesses.
Such as?
Delivery businesses, okay. Taxis, long-haul truckers. Anything that can make money for a family or for an individual, this is what we really focus on. Again, majority of our businesses have five or less employees, and the capitalization that ECDI does for businesses is we start from $500 loans all the way to $100,000 loans.
How many loans have you given?
To date, we have given over 600 loans to small businesses. That represents $10 million in capitalization. Our average loan's about $18,000. It's a lot of loans. We have created, through some of our other programs, and have retained 4,000 jobs and 2,000 businesses through our training, through our access to capital, through our individual development accounts, which are matched savings grants to businesses.
What happens when someone defaults?
Well, it's never a good thing, but you know, we take the hit just like banks do. I mean, it happens.
Sure.
Things like that happen, and we try to, you know, work with businesses so they don't default, but unfortunately these things happen. When they do default, then you know, we have to write off a loan just like banks do.
We're talking about how to grow local businesses in Central Ohio and throughout Ohio, how to give them a leg up to local low-income entrepreneurs with Timothy Wolf Starr. He's founder and CEO of Small Business Beanstalk, and he's also an investor in the Economic and Community Development Institute. And also with us is Ina Kinney. She is the founder of the ECDI. If you have a question or comment for either of our guests, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. Have you thought about starting a business yourself, a teeny weeny business, and you just can't muster the income or the capital, I should say, to get it off the ground? If you have a question or comment, these might be the folks to give a call to. 614-292-8513. So, Timothy, how long have you been at it with the Small Business Beanstalk, and how did it occur to you that this was the way to go?
It was September of 2009 that we got started. So we're coming up on our 2 years now. And our original program was a business-to-business matchmaking group where we would connect businesses, a printer that needs a designer, together. And it occurred to us once when on the way to an OSU game and walking down Lane Avenue, where it took an hour and a half to go four blocks, that the real thing that we needed was to get those people in their red shirts to be shopping local. That's when the key fob idea came forward, and it really changed everything. It put the businesses in a position where the capital was coming from the community to be reinvested back into itself. And from there, it just grew quite nicely.
It hasn't even been 2 years, as you mentioned. Was it hard to get businesses to sign on with this at first?
It was extremely difficult. It was a giant game of chicken and the egg where businesses didn't want to join the network when nobody had a card. No one wanted to sign up for a card when there were no businesses.
Right.
Fortunately, we're now at a point where we've got a lot of people signing up for the card every day. They can do it through our Facebook page. They can do it at tons of events. And we have new businesses joining every single day as well. So it was very challenging at first, but it was all worth it.
614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We're talking about how to grow local businesses and grow them locally. Give them a leg up. Karen in Delaware, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi, I have a question. I lost my job, or I had to take an early retirement due to the fact that my county office lost funding. So I was looking around for a type of a business perhaps that I could work out of my home, since I also watch my granddaughter. And what I was wondering is do they provide assistance in businesses that might be home-based or direct sales?
Ina?
Yes, we do. We have quite a few businesses that are home-based. You know, when you mentioned daycare, that's a great business to go into. And in fact, ECDI, right now we partner with Children's Hunger Alliance, which is another nonprofit based in Columbus. Mm-hmm. And they help with certification and training of home daycare providers. And what ECDI...
it's not a daycare. I'm watching my granddaughter, so I don't have the flexibility.
She was talking about direct sales from her home.
Job. But the business is child-related. It's a child protection service that provides prevention training to parents to prevent children from being abducted, and then a recovery program.
So that's the kind of business that you're thinking of starting?
Actually, it's an affiliate of a large organization that's 20 years old and has an A-plus Better Business Bureau rating.
Okay.
So it's an affiliate.
Okay.
Okay. So, you know what you should do? You should give us a call, and we have information sessions every Thursday at 12 and at 6 o'clock in the evening, mm-hmm. where clients can come in and they can learn more about our training and our access to capital programs. And I really do encourage you, because a lot of businesses, we do help our home-based.
Karen, we'll be posting those numbers, website and the phone number on our website at WOSU.org/allsides. And George from Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity.
You're welcome.
Yeah. My question is to know if immigrants can apply for the loan, or you have to be just a citizen to be qualified for your program.
Hello, George. Yes, immigrants can apply for loans. In fact, when I started ECDI with my business partner, Steve Fireman, who's our president and general counsel, we started working primarily with immigrants at that time. Now we serve everybody. But yes, absolutely. We have loan funds specifically for immigrant communities. We have loan funds for anybody and everybody that wants to come in and start or expand a business. So please give us a call or come and visit us on Thursdays, and we'll see what we can do to help you out.
Thank you, George. Great question. Laura in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show. Hi, Laura.
Hi.
Hi, you're on the air. Welcome.
Yes, we're small, independent, women-owned pharmacy and counseling and wellness center. And we're looking for resources. It's kind of twofold. The networking piece, which fits in with the small business beanstalk, but also looking for loans to expand and wondering what the criteria is for the loans. And the other question was how to enroll to become a member on the Small Business Beanstalk.
Wolf, why don't you answer that question first, and we'll get to the other.
Okay.
Yeah, we have three criteria for businesses to join the SBB. Okay. The first one is they have to be local and independent. Mm-hmm. The second is we have to be able to provide a clear value. So rather than being a phone book and having every printing company in town involved, we'd have the highest quality, the most cost-effective, and the fastest. So if we can't find a way to provide a really good value for you, it's probably not the right time to get set up. And then the third is they have to be awesome, which is our...
kind of subjective.
It's our very fun way of saying that we're able to make sure that we represent the best brands in Columbus. So,
if I could interject for just a second here. When you were first talking, you were talking about supporting local businesses and independent businesses. One of the things in the pharmacy industry is we're seeing a loss of independent pharmacies due to the large chains.
Right.
That does not mean that they do not provide a high quality, awesome business, as you say. Many of them provide services that the large chains do not provide. Like we provide assistance to low income families, both with their prescription assistance. And we partner with nonprofits.
Mm-hmm.
So we do a lot of things that are different than what the chain
yeah.
and competing against them is becoming more difficult.
No, that's great. And those are the kinds of businesses which we specifically want to support. If you could, we have a little bit of quick information on our website as well, which is www.thesbb.com. And if you send a contact us through that website, it will go directly to one of my partners that has a lot of experience working with similar businesses. And I think it could potentially be a really good match.
And what about Laura's other questions?
Laura's other question was related to financing and what type of criteria. Mm-hmm. Well, criteria is it's very easy, Laura. What you need to do is you need to contact ECDI, come in to one of our information sessions, and we'll assign you to a staff person, and we'll start you through the process. Anybody could qualify for capitalization programs at ECDI.
Well, can I ask you, what if you have a credit history?
Well, and oftentimes many of our clients do. We do not guarantee a loan, but what we do guarantee is a way for us to work with you so we can help you with your credit history issues. We have grant programs that many people qualify for where they save money and then we match their savings and they get a grant. Again, it's based on qualifications of demographics or income. So we don't turn anybody away. We try to help anybody to start or sustain or expand their business.
Does that help, Laura?
Yeah, that's wonderful. Just wondering where you are located.
We are located at 1655 Old Leonard Avenue, and that's in Columbus at 43219 area code. Go on our website, Laura. It's ecdi.org. And on Thursdays, like I mentioned before, we have information sessions at 12 noon and at 6 p.m. So please contact us, and let's see what we can do to help you out.
Thanks, Laura, for that question. Abdina, sir, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Yes, I had a question about I'm a truck driver, and I heard the CEO say we have a longer haul driving truck driver. So what do you have for truck driver?
For truck
what
drivers?
What do we have for truck drivers? Okay. We like I said earlier, your name is
Abdi Nasser.
Hi, Abdi Nasser. We have many truck drivers from East Africa that we help every single day. So again, give us a call, come on in, and we'll see what we could do to help you out.
Okay.
So what's the number?
Okay, well, the number is 559-0115. Okay?
Okay.
And it's ecdi.org. Thanks a lot for your call, Abdina, sir. 614-292-8513. We have just a few more minutes left with our guests. And if you have a question or comment, 614-292-8513. We'll post those numbers on our website at wosu.org/allsidesfearnet. And we'll also post contact information for Small Business Beanstalk, the founder and CEO of Small Business Beanstalk is Wolf Starr, and he's with us now. He's an investor in the Economic and Community Development Institute. Are there other things like this out there, Wolf? Is this a whole network of organizations out there now, or is it still like your organization in its infancy, do you think?
It's a fairly new concept built upon pretty solid principles. We were unable to find anything comparable when we were looking. We finally got to a point of success where we had a little bit to be able to put back into the community. And what we like about this is it's much safer. Instead of making a donation to a organization which we support, we're actually able to make an investment with them. So in a situation when you're an entrepreneur and everything's kind of shaky, it allows you to both invest as well as support. And that's what we found so great about the Invest Local Ohio campaign.
Mara in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi, I was wondering how you would go about investing in the Invest Local Ohio.
Ina, she wants to know how one would invest in the ECDI Local Ohio.
Well, what you need to do, Mara, is contact ECDI at 559-0115, and there is an investment strategy that we could walk you through. There's papers that need to be signed, and I think it's a great opportunity for individuals and for businesses to keep money in the community and to invest in locally owned businesses. So please give us a call.
We're going to be back and continue our conversation about how to grow local businesses in Ohio. Stay with us. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
Looking ahead to hour two of All Sides, we'll have folks from the shopping at farmers markets in Central Ohio. Tricia Wheeler, who's the editor-in-chief of Edible Columbus, Dave Whibley, who is the executive director of the North Market, and Adam Welly, who co-owns Wayward Seed Farm. That's coming up on hour number two of All Sides with Ann Fisher. In the weather for Central Ohio, partly sunny today with a high of 76 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy, the overnight low down around 55. Then on Wednesday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms in the late afternoon, partly sunny otherwise, Wednesday's high 78, Wednesday night showers and thunderstorms likely, and a low of 64 degrees. Thursday, showers and thunderstorms are likely once again, but mostly in the morning, otherwise cloudy, and a high of 77 degrees. Right now in Central Ohio, we have 63 degrees at our studios here on the OSU campus.
89.7 FM is your all-day NPR news station. Listen to local and national news all day, every day. And you can hear the best in classical music on Classical 101. Listen to your favorite composers 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. It's 89.7 NPR News and Classical 101 from WOSU Public Media. For more information, visit WOSU.org.
And now back to All Sides with Ann Fisher.
In a world of giant corporations, how does a little guy get started? We've been talking to creators of local small business, micro business incubators. Joining us now is David Lang. David is a community manager for ProFounder, an online crowdfunding platform that provides tools for entrepreneurs to generate investment capital from their communities. David Lang joins us from Los Angeles. Welcome to the show, David.
Thanks, Ann. Thanks for having me.
So how does an organization out in California help entrepreneurs in Ohio?
Well, that's a good question. So we're nationwide, so it's all online. So we're an online platform. We're a tool for entrepreneurs to go on and raise money from their friends and their family and people that they know, so people in their communities.
So we
work with groups like ECDI and other groups who are developing these Invest Local campaigns and having these conversations in their own community about investing local and what that means to really invest in the local community.
Where did ProFounder come from?
That's a good question. So Jessica Jackley and Dana Moriello are the founders of ProFounder. They started it back in August of 2009 while they were students together at Stanford Business School. Jessica, you may know, she was the founder of Kiva.org.
Mm-hmm. Kiva, yeah.
And they spent about a year and a half really working on the legal aspects and trying to figure out what makes sense for an entrepreneur that's also legal and SEC compliant. So they spent quite a bit of time just doing the legal homework. I joined the team back in November of 2010, which is right about the time we started actually raising money with entrepreneurs. And since then, we've had 18 businesses raise almost $500,000. So it's been pretty exciting.
What kind of feedback are you getting from your investors about how this works, and how has it been tweaked, over the last year or so?
Yeah, that's a good question. So, one of the initial assumptions was kind of that, people would want to search for businesses and look at these opportunities online. But what we found was that the real strength in these investor networks were these connections that they had, be that close family ties, friendship, or being in a local community. So to us, that's been one of the most exciting things, is that these ideas of community and friends and family supporting one another in their business ventures is really exciting. And that's the feedback that we've gotten from our investors, is it's really more about this kind of emotional desire to help someone succeed than it is about, am I going to make 15% or 20% return in 2 years, or what the exact return amount is. It's more a factor of kind of this emotional return on investment.
Are you seeing any kind of trend line? I know there aren't, you said you've only started 18 businesses, but do some lend themselves to this sort of development template better than others?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, so far the raise amounts have been between $10,000 and $65,000. The average raise is about $30,000, which is kind of a unique level of fundraising. I was just on the SBA site yesterday, and I noticed that the SBA had about $32 million earmarked for microloans, less than $50,000, and they were only able to issue $11 million. So it's a tough market for the SBA to reach. But it really allows these entrepreneurs to get to the next level. I was looking at some statistics from the Inc. 5000 list from 2009, and they talk about the fastest 5,000 growing businesses in the country, and the average investment size was $25,000. So I really believe that that's an amount that can get these businesses to the next level, and it's often overlooked by traditional lenders.
So if I wanted to borrow $25,000 to buy a car, I would be able to get $25,000 to buy a car, but to start a business, it's riskier. Banks are less inclined to loan for that. If it's the purpose, it's not the amount then.
Yeah, correct. Correct. It is, you know, small businesses and investing in businesses is a risky proposition. I think that's why this idea of having this trust built up with people that you know, that your friends or your family or people in your community, I think that is the reassurance that they need.
614-292-8513. We're talking to David Lang. He's the community manager for ProFounder. It's an online crowdfunding platform that provides tools for entrepreneurs to generate investment capital for their communities like Columbus. Also with us is Ina Kinney. She is the founder of Economic and Community Development Institute and also Wolfstar. He is the founder and CEO of Small Business Beanstalk. If you have a question or comment for our guests, give us a call and let us hear about that. Do you find right now, David, that you said you have 18 companies have participated? Where are they from?
Oh, that's a good question. So it's a really diverse mix. We've had an electric motorcycle company from San Francisco. We've had an ice cream shop from Hawaii. We've got a whale watching company from San Diego, a textile manufacturer in South Carolina, a brewery in North Dakota. So it you know, really runs the gamut. We've had an internet startup from San Francisco as well. So they're really coming from all over the country. And all types of businesses as well.
We're talking earlier about what happens when someone who borrows defaults. How does that work with your organization?
Yeah, so it's not a loan. So what we do is we really facilitate investments. We have two different term sheet structures. One is an equity term sheet, so it's a kind of a traditional equity model where there's non-voting common stock issued to the investors. The other model, which is what the majority of the raises have used so far, is kind of a unique and new idea, and it's a revenue share model. So the investors invest a certain amount, and then they're paid back a percentage of revenue over a set period of time between 1 and 5 years. So it does a few things. I mean, it creates this aligned value system that the investor is going to do as well as the entrepreneur does. So they're really aligned and incentivized to really support that business and get the word out about them. But it also creates kind of a safety net for the entrepreneur in that, you know, if they don't quite hit their revenue targets that they put in their projections, maybe their first year, they're still only going to pay that percentage of revenue. So if it's 2% of revenue for 4 years, they're only going to be paying that 2% of revenue. So there really is no default.
Ali in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hello, my name is Ali. I'm from Columbus, Ohio. And I was just wondering, I would really like to start my specialty business in street meat, the goat meat euro in Columbus.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I was wondering how I take out a loan to start the goat meat euro company on the streetcar.
Okay, so you're asking the same question. You just want to know how to use, take advantage of the Economic and Community Development Institute. Ina, you want to?
Well, as I mentioned before, Ali, ECDI does finance a lot of food-based businesses. In fact, we are starting a new endeavor. It's called Food Fort, where we're going to be incubating and assisting food-based businesses through food carts. So please call us immediately, because we're signing on clients to participate in this project, and we are loaning money, and then we're also providing food carts, financing food carts for clients.
Okay.
So I think it's a really great opportunity for you to start a food cart business, and it does not take a lot of capital to do so.
That number is 559-0115, area code 614. Ali, thanks for that call. If you want to make a call to us, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. As far as the investors go, David Lang, what kind of people are doing that?
So that is really dependent on the entrepreneur. So a big aspect of the platform right now is you do have to know the people. You have to have a prior relationship with your investors.
Okay.
So, you know, it can be anyone from moms and grandfathers and uncles to friends and people you went to school with, or people that you used to work with, or potential customers. So to use an example, for, like Ali is talking about the goat meat business.
Yeah.
What she could do is actually go to friends and family and people that she knows, people who have expressed interest in supporting her with her vision, and say, hey, why don't you invest $1,000? It's a really unique way to raise money. It's fundraising, but it's also marketing. You create this kind of incentivized customer base.
What's the difference between just saying, can you loan me $1,000 to get started, and going through something like ProFounder?
Right. So this actually happens all the time, right? That friends and family just kind of loan things, and it can oftentimes be uncomfortable, because a lot of times there's no term sheets that are generated, which is something that we do with our platform. We generate all the term sheets, facilitate all the signatures online. We also walk you through all the Regulation D Rule 504 blue sky laws. So there's all these blue sky laws that govern kind of how these different investments can take place. So we walk you through that aspect. So not only is it more formal in that you have term sheets in kind of an online formal invitation,
mm-hmm.
but you also have this kind of peace of mind that we're helping you with the SEC compliance, so you know it's a legal offering.
It's the organization ProFounder is still new. What had any glitches that have popped up that you weren't expecting?
Obviously there's always little things that are coming up, but nothing that's really I would say a glitch. For me, the most exciting thing that's kind of arisen from this whole experience is that I've been overwhelmed with the community support, right? The folks like the ECDI and everyone who's just really excited about investing in their local economy. This is something, you know, these are conversations that I have every day. A lot of people are excited about it, and we're excited to be providing the tools and talking to people about how to go about doing that.
I was reading an essay by Muhammad Yunus. He's the founder of the Grameen Bank in Bangladesh, and was the first microcredit outfit founded in 1983. And he recently wrote that he never imagined that microcredit would one day give rise to its own breed of loan sharks. Are you concerned about about scams? And how do people know if they don't go with you? We've vetted you. How do people though know how to avoid scams? And Ina and Wolf, if you want to join in here too, what kind of advice would you give them, David? If they don't go with you, what should they be looking for?
Are you talking about the investors right now?
Investors and...
Well, I think you got to do your homework. I mean, that's why I would, you know, recommend working with organizations that you know within a community. There's not that many of us out there. That's number one. And number two is, you know, ECDI has history of providing loans and credit to small businesses. So we do have the platform. We've done it. We've done over $10 million worth of loans to date.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just Invest Local Ohio. It's just another way for us to raise money.
Right. It's I'm just advice for people out there looking at other organizations. David, any advice?
Yeah. You know, I just want to echo what kind of Ina said. There's so much advantage to actually having someone in your community, someone you can reach out and touch and ask questions and sit down and have a coffee with.
Right.
And then also look at the underlying structure. I think that, you know, with ProFounder, you do have a structure that requires you to know the people who are investing. So that it's built in that there's going to be this emotional trust for the different people who are investing. And what we found is that that's not only is that kind of more secure, but it's also more effective. So it seems to be kind of like two sides of the same coin.
You know, in a way, when I think about it, when you're talking about the big corporations, the big bucks people, they all know each other too to a certain degree.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's the same kind of concept.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, if you were going to invest in a public stock, like AT&T, for example, you have all these tools to go on and do research on AT&T and kind of see what their market share is, their marketing plan is, and all these different things. You have all these tools to do research on AT&T, so you're able to develop trust. With a smaller business, a lot of times they just don't have the track record for you to be able to develop that trust. You need to develop it in another way. And, that's what, Ina was talking about when going and meeting with someone locally or going down and having coffee with your uncle and saying, hey, Uncle Joe, this is my business. I'm really excited about making it happen. And I'd love to have you along for the journey. So it's about trust. And I think there's a few ways to get at it. One is to, have all the due diligence and the track record. The other way is to really reach out to people and build that trust the old-fashioned way.
Ina?
And he's absolutely correct. And that's exactly what we're doing. We're going to people that we know. We're going to people that support the community, the local growers, the local grocery stores, the local restaurants, all of the local businesses. That's what we're all about, is to keep money locally, to invest locally. Think about all the money that comes. We all invest money in Wall Street. It's time for us right now to start investing in our local businesses. That's what's going to create jobs. That's what's going to create sustainability for communities like Columbus.
And it's going to create fun. I think that it feels great to support someone you know and someone in your community.
Absolutely.
Fun is something that's often overlooked.
We tell this to our investors, drive down the street and you'll see businesses that ECDI has had a hand in creating and supporting. It's really exciting to know that you can walk into a business that uses an SPB card and can work with other businesses that can support each other. And, so much is created here locally, and we just can't lose sight of that.
Well, I want to thank my guest, David Lang, Community Manager for ProFounder. Thanks for joining us, David.
Thank you so much, Anne. It was my pleasure.
And also, Wolf Starr, he is a founder and CEO of Small Business Beanstalk. Wolf, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate it. And Ina Kinney, founder and CEO of the Economic Community Development Institute. Ina, glad you could be here today.
Thank you, Anne, for having us.
You can go online to WOSU.org/allsides and get all the information about all the organizations we were talking about today, the websites, the phone numbers, you name it. We got it. Thanks for listening. This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News.